Take your Bibles, please, and find John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Aren't you glad we have a perfect Bible to look to tonight for the truth? We don't have a perfect assistant pastor.
Amen.
But we good recovery. You're welcome. We're going to start reading in verse 35, read down through verse 42. Verse 35 to 42, a few extra verses tonight. I'll start reading in verse 35, and join me please on the even verses. We'll close in verse 42 together. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone.
I want you to keep your Bibles open to John chapter 1. I'm going to show you something tonight, and I want to help you. I'm not a preacher that has certain topics that I just bounce back and forth on. I try to give a balanced diet to our preaching, and tonight will be a little bit more teaching than preaching, but hang on, it's available to preach too. But I want to help you with something. John chapter 1 is interesting to me. John the Baptist was a powerful preacher. By the way, the term Baptist was not his last name. That was the starting. He was the forerunner of Jesus. He's the one that baptized Jesus. He was biologically, he would have been a cousin to Jesus. If you want to look at it in the light of that, so to speak, humanly speaking. But the Bible says that he was the one that paved the way for Jesus. He was the setup man. He was the forerunner to Jesus himself. But I want you to notice something, and it's very interesting, and I'm going to use this in a couple ways tonight. But John the Baptist had disciples. Look at verse 35 again. The next day after John stood, two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something. The word disciple there. We have in America in the last 20 years or so really destroyed in Baptist churches the word disciple. Please listen to me very carefully. I am adamant on this on purpose. You say, Preacher, what is your discipleship program? It's called Sunday school. God never commanded every Christian to be a disciple. Never once. The Bible says if you're not willing to leave father and brother and kindred, you're not worthy to be my disciple. That's not to every Christian. That's to every preacher and every preacher's family. They have to be willing to leave their family to go do the will of God. They have to not whine and complain about it. They've just got to be willing to go do what's necessary to get done, to do the will of God wherever it needs done. But God said, if you're not willing, God didn't say to every Christian, you have to leave your family and go serve him. Now, every Christian is commanded to grow in grace. That's a given. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But nowhere in Scripture are we commanded to be disciples. Those that are disciples, listen to me, John's disciples were his assistants, correct? There's my disciples. They're full-time Christian servants. Discipleship is Bible college. You want to get right down to it. What's the best definition of discipleship? Bible college. Young people learning to go into the ministry and then following in the ministry. That's discipleship. It's not somebody writing all their own curriculum and taking somebody through. Let's quit going soul winning. Let's reach one person and teach them the rest of their life, all the things we're supposed to teach them. And it bothers me. They have to write curriculum for it, and we have a Bible. If it's such a wonderful thing for Christians to learn, how come we just don't use the Bible? And they want us to buy their curriculum and their program. That's just extra. It wasn't even in my sermon. But a disciple is a full-time servant. These would be my disciples. I didn't pick good ones like Jesus, but I didn't have much to choose from. No, and I'm teasing, and you know that. Thank you, Brother Scott. I'll pay you afterwards. Now, you have to understand, John had disciples. Well, how come we don't have the John discipleship program? Yeah, now we're getting into splitting hairs, and they don't know how to handle that. So get out of your mind that every Christian is supposed to be a disciple. Okay? The disciples were full-time servants. They were people that were in the ministry. That's a different level of Christianity that the average, and I don't mean this the wrong person or the wrong way, that the average lay person isn't going to achieve, nor wants to. All that being said, one day as John and his disciples were going from place to place, John looks up and sees Jesus. He says, "Fellas, behold the Lamb of God." And they said, "Wow." And they left John to go talk to Jesus. Wait a second. Can you imagine how John must have felt at that moment? His staff men left him to go follow somebody else for a little bit. Yeah. Now, wait a second. I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 38. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them," now what's the next word? "What seek ye?" Notice it doesn't say whom. It says what? "They said unto him," Rabbi, which being interpreted as master, "where dwellest thou?" We want to see where you live. We're going to try to figure out what makes you tick. We want to learn more about you, but we're not looking for you. We're looking for what has made you what you are. They were looking for a what, not a who. Too many times we see this and we think, whom seek ye? No, it was what seek ye? Now, here's the interesting part. Two of John's disciples, Andrew and another, left Jesus and began to follow him. And it was getting late, and he went to send them home. One left and the other stayed. And the one that stayed was a man named Andrew. Andrew did leave, but he went and talked to his brother Peter and brought Peter to Jesus and said, "I found him." And Peter becomes a disciple of Christ, watch this, because of his brother Andrew. It will be Peter that gets the credit for most of what is done. But if it wasn't for his brother, where would he be? Think about the importance of the Apostle Peter. God used Peter to write Scripture, not Andrew. God used Peter to be the leader of the disciples, not Andrew. But Andrew was always there. This was the Andrew who would go and find a boy who had a lunch and say, would you give it to Jesus? The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 wasn't that Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It was that Andrew talked a boy out of his lunch. You try to talk a boy out of his lunch. It ain't happening, amen? That took some negotiation skills for sure. Andrew was one of those men who stood in the background and let others take the credit. Andrew was one that could allow his brother to excel him and not be jealous. Not try to compete with it. Andrew has always been one of my favorite people in the Bible. He doesn't get the attention his brother got. Andrew had enough sense to stay in the boat in a storm, not get out and try to walk on water. Andrew had enough sense to keep his mouth shut and say it's a ghost. Peter didn't. But he was a great leader and a loyal man. And I want to give you some thoughts about that tonight. The farther away from truth we get in society, the less loyalty we have. Let me say that again. The farther away from truth we get in society, the less loyalty we have. Loyalty in our world today is based on emotions. It's based on philosophies. And eventually that will weaken and cause no loyalty. As emotions change and as philosophies change and as people's moods change, people's loyalties change. But my friend, I'm here to tell you, loyalty doesn't change because loyalty is to be based on truth, not emotion. Loyalty is to be based on the word of God and not how we're feeling at the moment. Our society almost does not know what loyalty is anymore. My son-in-law was asking a question about certain part of business that needed done for their move and different things. And he said, Dad, who do you suggest? I reached in my wallet. I pulled out a number, a name. I sent it to him. And I said, call this person. You tell them you're my son-in-law and that you're to get the information from that person. I've done business with this person for almost 25 years. And honestly, I've never met them face to face. There's people in this room, you've done business with them and have business associated with them because you've come to me and asked the same question. I've sent dozens and dozens and dozens of people to this person. I have yet to meet them face to face. Soon as he said he knew who he was and who his wife was, oh, I know her. And saved him a whole bunch of money. Say, why is that? Something called loyalty. I've been loyal because they have been a good company and I believe in them. Now, hang in there for a second. We're going somewhere. We're not to be, our loyalty is to be based on truth and principle. Loyalty that is based on truth and principle will not change. But listen to me. Loyalty to truth and principle will cause you to be loyal to the right people. Loyalty based on truth and principle will teach you and keep you loyal to the right places and the right things. And as people and as places and as things change, your loyalty does not have to change. even though it may change people and places and things. My loyalty is not to any institution. My loyalty is not to any one person. My loyalty is not to any one thing. It is to truth. And as long as it stays right with truth, I can stay loyal to it, but I cannot stay loyal to it if it changes truth. That means this. As you grow older, some of your loyalties will change because people change. As you grow older, your loyalties to certain places will change because those places will change. I was 23 years old. My wife and I had left college and graduated, gone to Southern California. I was working in a church. We took a youth department that had about 40 teenagers. A year later, we were running about 95 to 100 teenagers every Sunday morning. We were seeing people saved and baptized. I think I had over 80 people baptized that first year I was down there in Southern California. Things were going well, and the pastor came to me, and he was asking me to change direction. No. And I got promoted from being youth pastor and teaching a young married couple Sunday school class that I started to running three English bus routes, overseeing buildings, grounds, and maintenance, and a couple other little low-life things. And I knew the battle was on. I didn't say anything. I just kept going. I was getting ready to preach a sermon, and for some reason, he decided to put a harness on me and said, "I want to see your outlines before you speak anywhere." So I turned it into him, and he said, "Well, I don't think you should preach that in chapel." I said, "Then you find somebody else to preach." So I'm not changing it for you. I'm not changing it for anybody. There's nothing in there that is wrong. Just because you're changing doesn't mean I need to. He allowed me to preach it. But on the following Wednesday night, stood in front of the entire church and said, "Well, some people believe this, but this is where we're headed." He took my entire outline and preached it in reverse. And my wife was seated beside me. She was in that chapel service. And on Wednesday nights, like our men go down, we were able to go down and sit with our families during the preaching portion. And I squeezed her hand and I said, "Just sit here and smile. Everything's going to be okay. We'll slide out during the closing prayer." And it was on like Donkey Kong. I was getting ready, though, to preach. I didn't tell you what happened in between on purpose. 15 minutes before I went to preach that sermon, my phone rang. No lie, Brother Kevin. I heard this sweet little tiny voice. "Brother Bush, this is Irma McKinney." That's Brother Hiles' secretary. She said, "Brother Hiles wants to talk to you. Could you hold, please?" "Yes, ma'am." 15 minutes before I'm to go preach the sermon I was told not to preach. I waited about, seemed like an eternity. On the other end, I heard the click, and I went, and I heard, "Craig, this is Brother Hiles." "Yes, sir." He said, "Brother Craig, I hear things aren't going very smoothly for you." I said, "What do you mean, sir?" He said, "Well, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this. One question, do you want to stay?" My wife didn't know those five things. I knew those five things. Nobody else knew those five things. And I was faced with a question I didn't know how to answer. Brother Steve, I literally didn't know how to answer him. So I began to do what I should not do, and I just started talking without thinking. And I said, "Well, sir," I said, "it's not a matter of want to stay, I cannot. I said, if I stay and I'm loyal to my principles, I'd be disloyal to the pastor. I said, and if I change to be loyal to what the pastor wants, I'd be disloyal to my principles, and I'm not changing my principles for him, for you, or for anybody else. I thought, why did you just say that? I was so frustrated. And there was a short pause, and he said, Brother Craig, I'm going to help you. I just started weeping. He said, I'll be in contact with you shortly. He said, watch your back. He said, I got you. He said, don't back down. I said, well, I'm going to go preach a sermon. He told me not to preach. He said, good, preach it hard. Yes, sir. I did. And the battle was started. I'll never forget when he asked me to come work for him after I got there. We were meeting, just he and I. He said, now, Brother Craig, do you remember back when you were in California, you said this to me? I thought, oh, no, here it comes. I'm going to get fired before I even start. I said, yes, sir. He said, one of the reasons you're sitting here on my staff is because of that statement. He said, any man willing to lose a job in the ministry because you believe in your principles so much is a man I want to hire. He said, you've been true all these years. He said, stay at it. I said, yes, sir. Loyalty is to a truth, right, not to an institution, yes, sir, not to a person. Amen. I'm going to say something here. I don't have a loyalty to a college. Amen. Say why? Because colleges change. I'm no longer welcome at the college that I graduated from and taught in. And guess what? I don't give a flying flip. Brother Hiles has been in heaven for 25 years now. Guess what? He wouldn't be welcome there right now. Why would I want to go there? Doesn't bother me to say it. It hurts me to say it, but it doesn't bother me. Right now, I believe the best Bible college in the country is Brother Fugit's. If it changes, that'll change. Because my principles aren't going to change. Everybody see where I'm headed with that? All right, hang in there. It doesn't mean that you're always loyal to the same thing all the time. I know preachers who have destroyed their own ministry because they stayed loyal to a friend that changed because they felt like they should be loyal to somebody to the very end. And then I've watched them ruin their churches over it, and it's wrong. Andrew had heard that, heard John the Baptist even preach about Jesus. When he had heard about Jesus, he wanted to meet him. And when John the Baptist says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, Andrew said, I'm going. I want to meet him. You've pointed me to him. There he is. And though he was a co-worker with John the Baptist, it was loyal for him to leave John and follow Jesus. He was not being disloyal to John the Baptist. John the Baptist would soon die anyway. And I don't find anywhere where the rest of those disciples ended up following close to Jesus. It was also loyal for the one who followed with Andrew to go back to John. There was nothing wrong with that. But it would be Andrew who would change the course of the world by reaching his brother because of it. Let me give you a few thoughts on loyalty tonight. Number one, loyalty is to be based on a truth because truth does not change. Loyalty is to be based on a truth because truth does not change. Loyalty is not to be based on people, places, and things because all things change. I love you all, but guess what? We all change. People change. There are people in the ministry that I've known and loved for many years that have changed, and guess what? My loyalty is to truth, not to them. As long as they're still loyal to the same truth in the same way, I am loyal with them. But the moment they change, guess what? I'm no longer loyal to them. I'll be loyal to the truth that I've always been loyal to. I've mentioned my college. I'm not loyal to the college I graduated from because they changed. I didn't. They're mad at me because I won't change with them. Loyalty is not to be based on people, because people are sinners and sinners change. And let me just say right here, just because you share the same last name doesn't mean that you're supposed to agree with it. I know people that are so loyal to their family that they're wrong. Everybody doing okay? And I'll get the rest of you mad at me with this next one. That means stepkids and stepparents can be closer than blood relatives if they'll live biblically. Hello. You don't have to be the Wicked Witch of the West. I'll get you, my little pretty. Anyway, somebody get the gallon of water. Here we go. I'm melting. Anyway. Now, wait a second. Yeah, no. I don't even go there, Scott. I got a baptistry up here. We can throw a few in. Amen. Now, wait a second. Just because biologically somebody's not related to you doesn't mean they can't be related to you. But my oldest and his wife were trying to adopt and do the things that they were doing with in our country's a mess. But the one that we were very close to getting, he was just as much a part of our family as though he were born into it. Sure. I told that young man sitting right there this week again, I said, I could not be more pleased. I could not have chosen anybody any different from my daughter as a husband, even if I would have reared him myself. Amen. You ask him, he's as much a part of my family as my biological kids are. He's treated the same way they are. I'm glad that my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law, call me dad. Well, you're not their dad. Yeah, I am, because they're one with my children. Guess what? That makes them one with me. Some of you have in-law problems because you're treating them like an outlaw, not an in-law. Loyalty is to be based on truth and principle, not a person. Loyalty is not to be based on places or institutions, because those places and institutions change, because it's run by people who change. There are churches that used to be great churches that are no longer great churches. And I won't associate with them. Hang on. I'm about to separate the wheat and the tares. There's a lot of great, used to be great churches that are now not even, in my opinion, biblically a church. I have family that go to some of those. My uncle called me the other day, or texted me. He said, I met somebody that knows you. Used to be my Christian school principal. He said, he didn't even know where you've been all these years. He said, and I said, yeah. I said, pass my information. I'd love to talk to him again. But I'm not going to be close friends with him. I know where he's been in the last 40 years, 45 years. I know where I've been too. There's a reason we haven't talked. Our circles haven't been close enough to come back. He's running a whole different circle. Doesn't mean I'd be unkind to him. He just lost his wife 2 years ago. Why would I be unkind? Everybody doing okay? But it doesn't mean I'm going to go preach at their church. Right. I've been asked to go back and pastor churches that I wouldn't go back and pastor. It wouldn't be right. there are certain businesses that have changed through the years, and I've quit using them and quit being loyal to them. You're never going to get to a point in America, we've come too far. Well, I'm never going to go to a place that serves alcohol. Well, you've really limited yourself, and you're never going to get gasoline ever again. Yeah. There was a day where you could do something like that, but no longer. The society has changed so much. But there are certain businesses that have changed practices to the point where I disagree with it. For instance, when Dick's took all their hunting stuff out because they wanted to go woke, I quit going to Dick's. I don't even walk through the front door. Say why? It's not because they don't sell hunting stuff anymore. It's because of the philosophy change. Loyalty is not to be based on a program. Now, you older folks, hang on. I'm about to skin y'all a little bit. But there's churches that started programs that weren't good programs to start, but people want to hold on to their church because they have that program. Awana. Ouch. Awana is printed in every version of the Bible. Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. They don't even have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts anymore. They're now called the Scouts of America because they don't have any gender differentiation. Folks, we've gone way too far. I'm just going to go ahead and say it's Salvation Army. Salvation Army started with William Booth. They preached the gospel. Now, is all it is a money-making scheme. Has nothing to do with salvation. They don't even know what the word salvation means. We will never have a program here that's not based out of the local church. Amen. We're going to start a children's program, hopefully this year, called King's Kids. But it's not going to be Awana. It's not going to be a patch club. Patch club doesn't even come out of a Baptist church. Right. I'm not against Ron Hamilton per se. We sing some of his music here and all that. And it's neither here nor there, but the programs weren't built on a church. They don't come out of a church. It's not headed by a pastor. Loyalty is not to be based on a program. I know people that they'll only move from church to church if they have the right kind of program. Right. We're not going to have Overeaters Anonymous and Alcoholics Anonymous and Under Eaters Anonymous and Odor Eater Anonymous or whatever. Good night. Bless God. We don't need programs for the drunks and the addicts. We need people to get saved and get right with God, and God will clean them up. Amen. Number two, I got to hurry. So loyalty is based on truth because truth doesn't change. People and institutions and things change. Number two, loyalty does not move people away from, it moves people towards truth. Loyalty does not move. It stays based on truth. People move toward or away from truth. Somebody asked me today about a certain preacher I did not hear of. I said, don't know, but send me their name and I'll look them up. Well, they're associated with something that's moving the wrong direction. And I told them that. That's all I said. I didn't say, don't listen to this person, they're a creep. I don't know the person, how can I say that? But I said, I can tell you who they're associated with, and I'd be a little leery. Because that place is going a different direction. You see, because truth does not change, loyalty cannot change. Amen. Folks, I'm loyal to that book because it doesn't change. Amen. Don't bring in another because it's already changed. Amen. Well, there's a new one out. They come out with one a month. Don't worry about it. Loyalty does not change because it's based on truth. Sun's going to come up in the east and set in the west tomorrow. Guess what? Not going to change.
Right.
Loyalty doesn't need to break away. It needs to stay put. I'm going to say something here. Brother Kevin, I'm going to have you stand up and help me here. I want you to angle towards Paul. Here's what happens. When somebody's going the wrong direction, we might be walking shoulder to shoulder, but as we're walking, we're getting farther and farther away because he's pointed a different direction. I didn't move. He did. It's his fault. It's the woman thou gavest me. She made me do it. That's exactly what we use. Now watch this. I don't have to separate from anybody. They're separating from me by changing. I haven't separated from my college. They separated from me. They called me and asked me if I would agree with the statement that the Bible's only preserved, it's not inspired. And I said, do me a favor, get rid of my phone number and only call me unless there's things we can agree on. Otherwise, shut up. Hello.
Amen.
They don't call anymore. Now, wait a second. I didn't change. I'm not going to change. It appears as though I left them. No, they left me.
Yes, sir.
I stayed the course. They're the ones that have veered off. Preachers all around that I've known for decades, and they're now over here and over here and over there and over there. And they, well, you separate. No, I stayed the course. You're the ones that appealed away. I haven't changed. Loyalty stays true. It doesn't vary. Old Dr. Robertson, down the line, never change. No, no, no. Loyalty is made to look like it is the one who is moved, but it's only done because so many have moved away from it. But loyalty does not move. It's so strange in America today for somebody to be married 36, 37, 30, 40, 50 years. So somebody, my wife and I were somewhere, I think we were at the airport or somewhere. And we were eating before we flew out last Friday. There's a little old black lady there. She and I were carrying on before we got our food. And she saw us bow our head and pray. She said, y'all Christians? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you're dressed like one. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, how long y'all been married? And we told her. She said, wow. She said, you don't hear that much anymore. And I said, that may be true, but we're the babies in the family. I said, I've got five uncles and aunts that have been married over 60 years. My brother's been married over 40. My mom and dad were married 59 years before my mama went to heaven. This Tuesday would be 65 years for them. She said, wow, what a heritage. I said, yes, ma'am, we got a long way to go. I said, and I'm just enjoying the journey. And can I tell you something? That's not normal in America anymore because America has, they've gone to instant marriages and instant divorces and instant relationships. Loyalty is made to look like it's the one who moved, but it's those who have moved away trying to convince everybody else they haven't moved. It's amazing how many churches think they're Baptist and fundamental and they're not even close to either one. But they're so busy telling everybody they are that they don't know that they're not. Loyalty does not hold on to that which moves away because it only holds on to truth. you don't understand. About, 11, about 10 or 11, 12 years ago, in the area, they were going to have a local alumni meeting of everybody from the college I graduated from. I got a call from the vice president of the college that said, "Craig, we're having a meeting at such and such place. And I couldn't call everybody and not call you, but you're not coming, are you?" I got invited and uninvited in the same sentence. That was a world record for me. I said, "No, I'm not going to be there." He said, "I didn't think so, thanks." Now, wait a minute. I worked shoulder to shoulder with that man. I consider him a friend. To be honest with you, I laughed, but I heard at the same time. I did something just for fun. I think I was in the flesh, not the spirit. I said, "Brother so-and-so, may I ask you a question?" And when he gets nervous, he kind of stutters a whole lot. And he said, "Yeah, go ahead." Sorry. I said, "How's your family?" "They're kind of scattered all over." I said, "Mine is too." He never one time asked how the church was. Never asked if anybody was getting saved. Never asked one thing. Answered that question, and he couldn't get off fast enough. If I was on fire, I don't think he would spit on me. It saddens me. But I didn't move, he did. I didn't change, he did. Yet he's trying to convince everybody he hasn't changed. That happens with preachers. It happens with churches. It happens with friends. It happens in life. Loyalty keeps obeying the truth and getting closer to the truth while others change what they want to believe as truth. Any church that has to meet every 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years to decide what new doctrines they're going to have isn't something I want to be a part of. Amazing, all these mainline denominations have their meetings every so often to decide what they are and aren't going to enforce. That ought to tell somebody something's not right. But we want to add some new things. Be careful of new. They're trying to make people who are loyal to truth look like they're the unreasonable ones. "You're just so stubborn. You're so unreasonable." Well, truth does not change. You want to tell me that the sun comes up in the north and sets in the south? You can tell me all you want, but it isn't going to change truth. Everybody doing okay? We become the ones that are labeled the stubborn ones that are too unreasonable. Well, thank you very much. Yeah. Stay loyal to truth. It's easier. One of my dear friends, Brother Chris Drollard up in Maine, he said this. He introduced me one day to preach at his church. He said, "I love Brother Bush because, can I tell you why? He'd make a lousy liberal." He said, "I don't think Brother Bush could become a liberal. He'd kill them all." You say, why? "Because I'm dedicated to the truth, not to opinion and everybody else's ways." Number three. This is where I want you to hone in. Loyalty can be bigger than one thing. Do you know loyalty is not reserved for one thing and one thing only? I love my wife, but she's not the only person in the world I love. I love my children. I love my children's spouses. I love my grandkids, especially when they call their daddy and They want to talk to Pawpaw over the... Only happened once, so we'll take advantage of it, amen? Where's Pawpaw? Now, wait a second. I'll take that, but I can be loyal to all the people in this church and love you. I can love people in other churches, but not the way I love this church. I can love more than one person. I can be loyal to more than one person. I can be loyal to more than one place. Everybody doing okay? I can be loyal to my wife and others at the same time. Some of you, if you don't have one single best person in the whole world, then you're the most miserable thing God ever made. Well, I'd rather have 1,000 friends than one personal friend that's so close that we have this thing backwards. We think we have to spend every moment of every day with somebody to be their friend. Shoot, I have friends that I don't see for 5 and 10 years at a time, but we're still friends. I'm not kidding when I say this. I have friends that I haven't seen in over a decade. But if you picked up the phone and called them, they'd say, oh, Brother Bush is my friend. Amen. We've not seen one another face to face physically in over a decade. I can be loyal to more than one friend at a time. Anybody doing okay? Some of you don't have enough loyalty because you're not loyal to a principle. You're loyal to a thing or a person. That's why it has to be only one. I can be loyal to more than one of my children. I can be loyal to Michael and Mindy. And Josh and Ruth Ann and Jeff all at the same time. You know, if I'm loyal to truth, I will be loyal to more than one person and more than one thing. Because everybody that is associated with truth, I can be loyal to. I love Brother Fugit, my dear friend. I can tell you why we agree in truth. Do we agree about everything? I'm sure we don't. But on major truth, yes, we do. I love Brother C, my dear friend. You think we agree about everything? I'm sure we don't. There's times I don't even agree with me. Brother C's 45 minutes down the road. I think we've had 3 meals together in the last 15 years. 2 of those were banquets. I'm not kidding. And the other one was when Brother Fugit was here, and I took them both to lunch. Say why? We're so busy. Pick up the phone and call him. He'll tell you, Brother Bush is my friend. And I am. I love him. I trust him. I think it goes both ways. Can I tell you something? Just because we don't spend all of our time together doesn't mean we're not friends. Right. But we agree in truth. I've got to quit. Mrs. Lopez was wanting to know what the score is on the football game. Miss Kim's got it on her screen in her car waiting for her. Andrew was a loyal man. He was not disloyal for leaving John the Baptist. What was John the Baptist's job? To prepare the way for Jesus. So when he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, watch this. Andrew said, this is the one you've been teaching us about. I'm going to go find out who he is. He was following what his leader told him to do. And in his loyalty, he went back, found his brother Peter and said, I found the Messiah. I found the Christ. You got to meet him. Peter said, you met him? I did. I can get you close to him. He said, well, then let's go. I bet you that's where Jesus came by one day and said, Peter, I go fishing. Bet you Andrew went back and said, Jesus, I got a brother. He's interested in meeting you. I think if you could talk to him, he might follow us. He might be one of your disciples. But he'd have to meet you. He's one of those kind of guys. Peter, I'm going fishing. You want to go with me? Yeah. Where are we going? I'm going fishing for men, not for fish. As he walks, there's James and John, the sons of thunder. Fellas, I'm going fishing. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their fishing business. Can I tell you why? Andrew. He was loyal to a truth. Began reaching people, and Andrew may be one of the most influential people of all the disciples and the least one talked about. And he never went back to John the Baptist. I bet you he got criticized. Oh, who's Andrew think he is? Think he's better than us? No. He just happened to know what John the Baptist was saying, and he followed it pretty close. And we don't know the names of the other disciples that followed John. I wonder if they changed. I wonder if they fell by the wayside. You just wonder where they ended up. And you can be loyal to one more than one thing at a time. Some lessons on loyalty from Andrew. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe we ought to work on our loyalty. How do we do it, preacher? Stay true to the truths of the Word of God. Stay loyal to the truths of the Word of God.